everybody. I'm Lisa Burwell, your host of V-Speaks, Conversations with Heart and Soul. We're in season 5 at The Rep. We are super excited about this, and my guest, Stacy Brady, has been a colleague and a friend of mine for about 27, 28 years. Welcome to the podcast, Stacy.
It feels like 26 years.
Yeah. Okay, let's just say that.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here.
It's a pleasure.
I know that the traffic is something else, right? What our town has grown up is all grown up now, and it takes a lot longer to get places.
You know, back in the day, since you mentioned, yeah. When I was at Seaside and I drove from home, it was exactly 18 minutes, okay, yeah. I could get here. And now it's about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I like to say the only thing constant is change, and you just have to roll with it.
Right.
You know,
you have to
plan better.
Yes.
And, of course, one of the things that I learned when I was here at Seaside, and Robert Davis taught me the notion of beach time.
Uh-huh.
So we're on beach time. So that means, like, as long as you're within like that 20-minute window, you know, you're pretty much on time.
Correct.
Of course, coming from, you know, Memphis, a bigger market, it was like you're on time for things.
You're 10 minutes early.
Yes, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And here it's like, 10 minutes, 20 minutes,
right.
You know, but we still try to be on time.
Yeah, that's right. Beach time. Speaking of Seaside, you were the marketing director here in mm-hmm. Seaside, where we are today, for 6 years.
Yeah.
What year did that span?
Yeah. It's always great to be back at Seaside. Mm-hmm. I always refer to it as I did my time on 30A. You know, it was a great gig,
yeah.
And it was 99 to 2006, and it was an exciting time because I came on right after the Truman Show kind of exploded, and
mm-hmm.
you know all about this because mm-hmm. I know you did work for Seaside and were part of that whole scene. And so, you know, there were a lot of eyes on Seaside mm-hmm. at that time, and it was really, you know, emerging and coming into its own. So it was thrilling to be part of that. You know, we worked with a lot of national and international media, and we had a great story to tell. And there was all of the architecture, and one of the kind of fun things that I discovered, a year into my tenure, was I you know, went to ownership and I said, so when exactly was Seaside founded? You know, what was the year? And everybody went, and they went back and they were going through like all of these official documents. Uh-huh. It was like the first house was sold in 1982. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so you know what that means. We've got a 20-year anniversary. So, you know, I'm thinking right. about stories to tell
right,
for
right.
Seaside. And it's like, we've got a 20-year story here to tell. And so everybody got really excited about that. And so for a year, we kind of, not only paid homage, but we really dug into how Seaside had become the model for the new urbanism. And we brought back all of the original Miami mm-hmm. Night crew. And of course, you know, Andreas Duani and Elizabeth Plater-Zeiberg and all those folks. But the early architects, and I remember putting together a panel in this, you know, mm-hmm. space. We called it the Pioneers.
Mm.
And they were a little dubious about being pioneers. You know, Daryl Davis was on it. And they ended up having so much fun, you know, recounting all of those early stories. And it really brought a lot of very high talent and big personalities together, you know, for a 20-year reunion. Mm. Another really fun thing that we did during that celebration was we did an architectural competition where we said, okay, because you know you've got every, you know, famous world-class architect pretty much in the world that has built in Seaside, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we said, okay, if you could build anything in Seaside, whether it's real, it could really be built, or whether it's just fantasy, okay? What would you design, okay?
Wow.
And so we had architects from Italy and, you know, from internationally, and of course some of the architects who had built early on submit just the most fabulous designs that were just crazy over the top. You know, a lot of them were very, you know, kind of fantasy driven, and just had so much fun for that year. And so that's just one of kind of the great memories.
Did anything get built?
Well, the architect that ended up winning, his name escapes me, but he built or designed the cemetery space next to the chapel. Mm. And he actually won. Wow. And there was the idea that that might actually come to fruition. Mm-hmm. Don't think it did. Mm-hmm. But he certainly was, you know, gobsmacked that that he won that. And and it was so much fun. In 6 years, we did a lot. There's kind of a story I tell about I tell on Robert Davis. He doesn't mind a bit. Where every now and then he, you know, a pile of papers would come from San Francisco from him. Mm-hmm. You know, there'd be like a rubber band around it, and it'd be for me, Stacy. And on the top of it, there'd be a ULI application, and there'd just be a little sticky note with a note from him that would say, "Alas," you know, it's like he wanted that ULI, you know, award for Seaside. And actually, a couple of folks had tried to, you know, had made submissions, and it just hadn't happened. And so I remember one day that pile, you know, landed on my desk again, and it was like, "Alas," and I'm like, "I am going to do this, okay?" And so I made it my mission. And so I stopped what I was doing, and I really dug in, and I did, you know, wrote up the submission for a ULI award, which is, you know, Urban Land Institute. It's kind of the mecca for developers. And out of Washington and associated with Congress for New Urbanism, all that. And so I found out that we were a finalist, okay? So, you know, I was so excited to call Robert and Daryl and say, "Okay, you know, we're a finalist." Then they're like, "Okay, so, you know, now what," right? So I talked to, I made a friend in Washington, and of course they can't tell you anything, you know, I mean, they are sworn to secrecy, right? So I was like, I made him my new BFF, right? I was like, "So, the awards are in San Francisco, conveniently, okay?" The Davis's primary residence was there. And so the idea is, you know, everybody buys a table and they're all the finalists, you know, this is the who's who. They go to San Francisco, and then they did, there's a big a production, Al Franken was the MC, and they did, you know, the big show. And but anyway, so I'm talking to my friend in Washington. I'm like, "So, do you think I should buy a dress to go to San Francisco?" You know, I mean, it's like, this is a big investment. And he was like, "I think you should go." You know, he said that. And I'm like, "Okay." But, you know, there are multiple winners because it's in multiple categories. Okay. And so we all went with the Davises, and it was the CEO at the time. It was Jackie and Donna, the Realtors. You know, rather, yeah, the real estate, you know, mavens who've really made this happen, and Mike and I. And so we were thrilled, and it was at the Fairmount, and it was, you know, fabulous. And so my friend is there, okay, from Washington, and we were at our table, and I see him. And I go over to him, and I remember, like, in my fabulous dress, I'm like, you know, squatting down, and I'm like, "So," like, looking at it, like, you know,
"Talk to me."
Yeah, like,
without,
you know,
talking to
and
me.
I'm like, yeah, it's like, you know, blink twice, you know, but but he had his, like, game face, and I just remember looking at him and going, like, "Oh my gosh, I think we won something." I mean, I just remember having this feeling, you know, and kind of getting chills. And so I'm like, okay, because we've made, you know, the invest. So we're there to start going through the different categories, okay? And then, you know, they're at the, like, best of show. I mean, it's like, we haven't won, okay? And I'm like, so disappointed, you know? And then, but I'm just hanging on for dear life. So they're doing best of show. And I mean, you were talking about developments from all over the world that are just, you know, I mean, gazillions of dollars, right? Then we got little Seaside. And then, you know, third place, and then, you know, second, and then best of show, and it was Seaside.
Wow. And I did not know this story.
This is true. And
I
let
love
me,
it.
Then this is so great because Robert and Daryl, like, jumped up. Robert ran for the stage.
Oh my gosh.
Left Daryl, like, you know, and the then dust. At some point he realized, okay, and he stopped. And of course, she was fabulous and, like, couture,
oh,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they went up to the stage and, you know, and made their acceptance. And it was like,
that's amazing.
Yes.
Congratulations. That's a good story. You're a good storyteller.
That was pretty exciting.
I was captivated by that. All I can think of, if your answer was, "And no, they didn't win," what were you going to feel like at
I
that time?
I was going to say, I would, it would be like, "Hey, we were a finalist."
Yeah, right, right.
"And we'll try again. Maybe, maybe, I don't know, you know, maybe we'd look at it from a different
what
perspective."
What year was that?
That would have been maybe 2003. 2003. Wow. Maybe 2003.
Congratulations.
Well, I mean, I didn't win.
You mad dogged it into the finish line.
Yeah,
you had a vision, you had gumption, and you had a purpose to do it, and you brought it in. What did Robert and Daryl say?
Well, I mean, they were thrilled. Yeah. Robert was very complimentary. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, okay. You know, they were very happy. My bosses were happy. Yeah. When the bosses are happy,
you're happy.
You know, it's like, hey, yeah, I got a job for another day.
Right. Right. Oh, man, that is such a good story.
Yeah.
Didn't know it.
So I did my time on 30. I had a great time. Yeah. It was really fantastic.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So after that, was your next gig that you've almost been at for 20 years?
Yeah.
Grand Boulevard as the marketing and communications director.
Yeah. Okay. I took a little break, okay? Because I took a little break, and I was just doing some consulting. And there was a new property, in the horizon. It was called Grand Boulevard at Sandestin. Doesn't have anything to do with the resort. That was just a licensing name situation for location purposes, directional. Mm-hmm. And so I was made aware of it, and then I was brought on to in 2006. I mean, I really ended up taking 3 months, of a break before I kind of jumped right in. And so in September of 2006, I met with Keith Howard, who is the developer for Howard Group and developed Silver Sands and, did commercial real estate at Sandestin and has done an awful lot more. And so I met with Keith and Merlin Allen, who was his VP of real estate, who's no longer with us, and it was just like beloved. Just, I mean, you talk about somebody who could inspire and motivate you. And I probably took the gig because of Merlin.
He was a good guy.
He was so cool. Mm-hmm. And he was like, it's all about the location and you're on the 50-yard line. And he was like, and I was like, okay, sign me up, coach.
Yeah.
And so I met with them. Yeah. We had our hard hats on. We met out at Grand Boulevard and they started kind of laying out, what they wanted to do there. And it was to, develop a kind of an all-encompassing town center concept, mixed use. And I got it. And I thought it was really cool. Wow. And it's in Miramar Beach. Right. And
so it was just dirt then.
It was coming out of the ground.
We were
actually in a building under construction, the 500 building under construction, which is where Emerald Coast Theater Company is now. It's the 560 building. Yeah. And so
That was the first building.
Yeah, it was one of them. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to start just writing all of the, we call it branding, in the biz, but really start to tell that story. Okay. So what we want to be and lay the groundwork for like everything going back to what we lay out here in terms of this is who we want to be, this is who we're aspiring to be, and all roads have to go back to this, kind of point to this. And so that was September 2006. I remember writing it. It's like Grand Boulevard, a place of distinction. Mm. It's very lofty. Mm. Very, very lofty goals, okay? We still do, okay? And so, and then I went in-house in 2009, okay? They were my client for 3 years. So I went in-house in 2009. Of course, that was just coming on after the commercial real estate, everything
tanked.
Fell out. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so it was like, okay, now we got to kind of keep going and so, which is always my mantra anyway, it's like, keep going. I mean, we never stop. And so, we came back from that, and we kind of had a little bit of a different mindset in terms of what the center was kind of going to do. Initially, we were looking at it, it's more like Ladies Who Lunch. Mm-hmm. It's the country club set. And the tenant mix kind of was reflecting that. Mm-hmm. But we soon realized that, no, that's very limiting as to what Grand Boulevard is going to be. And I'm talking about specifically from a tenant mix, okay? Mm-hmm. And so we realized that there's a much younger and more, the more diverse demographic that is going to want to be part of Grand Boulevard. And so today, you definitely see that reflected in the tenant mix. But going back to 2009, we came back. And then, of course, we had the BP oil spill. And it was like, wah, wah, wah. It's, so we can't catch a break in this, you know. I mean, you are well aware. And so then it's like, we've got to come up with these off-the-beach messages. And so we brought in Le Grand Cirque. You may remember we brought in, was the version, the traveling version of Cirque du Soleil. Yes. And brought them in. And it was so cool.
Great.
I mean, it was really awesome for a summer. And it gave people another reason to come to the market, come to Grand Boulevard. So what you started seeing was, okay, it's not just shopping, okay? It's going to be experiential, okay? And that's really what people want, you know? And I think about the term authentic. I was just thinking about this because it's so overused. And it's like, please do not tell me something is authentic again.
Because you're going isn't.
You're going to be your authentic self. Okay.
Right.
Hopefully you will be. but I think about that term and it's like, what, for me, what that really means is like, what do you, are you going to be and do who you say you're going to be and do what you say you're going to do? And are you going to deliver that? And what is that? You know? And again, ubiquitous term experience, but that's exactly what it is, okay? And so so we really, you know, that's something that I kind of go back to. So
well, also, the architecture is so beautiful.
It is.
And Keith, you know, I knew his plans that he had had probably for 5 years, even before that, you know, talking about it. And I would look at the plans and then I would say, when's it, to myself, when is it coming? When is it coming? Because I knew that these were all laid out for like many years before. And I thought, and I wanted like, oh, I want this to come to market. I want to see it. But Keith doesn't do anything unless he's ready to do it. He's so methodical. He's so purposeful. And he has great patience, I think. But then when I even go there now today, and I think about that, how I, just a person that lived here, was like, hey, you know, make it faster than this, you know.
Which is, I'm ready to shop.
Yeah, I'm ready to shop. It was ridiculous. Who needs my opinion on that? And I'm like, wow, he did everything so right and so meticulous, and the large sidewalks and the beautiful spaces and the tenant mix is unrivaled in our area. You know, the restaurants and Tommy Bahama and Vintage and Emeralds.
Yeah,
and
sure.
What am I missing?
Well, Brick Tops just opened. It's fantastic. So, I mean, 16 restaurants, you know. To your point, you're exactly right. And you've known Keith Howard for a long time. He's very thoughtful, you know, which I can appreciate. I'm like you. I'm like, go, we got to go. We got to get, you know, and it's like, you know, okay, you know, and trust, you know, he certainly had a vision for that.
And he didn't forsake it. He kept the vision true.
Correct.
And, you know, to your point of authenticity,
that
just what it looks like. You don't need to say it's authentic. It doesn't look like anything else here. It looks like you're in Rodeo Drive, somewhere on Miami, Worth Ave,
Ball Harbor.
Beach, Ball Harbor. Yeah, okay, we'll get to that. Well, now we'll jump ahead and then we'll go back. So good.
Yeah.
I actually forgot that you were even there then, that you can lay claim to the Cirque. That was pretty...
It was you know, a negotiation and getting them in. They were a traveling, you know, pretty major production. They were doing Vegas and a couple other big cities. And, you know, I remember meeting with them and they were like the real deal, like producers, you know, and they were movers and shakers. And I remember.
Well done.
Oh, it was very well done. The entrance, when you walked in, the artists who created that were from Disney. I mean, they were like, you know, high level illustrationists and designers and creative minds. And so it was a big investment. And it was, you know, it was there at the right time. And it really kind of motivated us to keep going during, you know, a couple of years that were challenging.
I like this conversation too, because I even know you, but I even, you know, you forget like how long someone's been somewhere and how that did lead to this next question that I'm going to ask you about, where you're a thought leader, you're a community builder, and you've done that for our area. And I really wanted to have this interview with you to basically say thank you and to acknowledge and recognize the impact that you've had on so many organizations and Grand Boulevard in and of itself, which is a great place to go. And it makes me feel good when I go there because it just looks good and it's clean and it's well done. And, you know, creating really great places and spaces, mm-hmm. because I have such a heart for Seaside too, mm-hmm. like, you know, you did because I was here too. Mm-hmm. There is something so amazing about doing that, being a good developer, mm-hmm. because it beautifies the world, mm-hmm. when you're a good developer and you're thoughtful, mm-hmm. and all that. So, yes, it's retail. You've got to make money. You've got to do that. You've got to have the right tenant mix and all that. But then you also have to have, you know, community and the experiences, mm-hmm. that you're talking, mm-hmm. about. So, walk us down the road about when you started, like, bringing the community in with all the nonprofits, et cetera.
Sure. Yeah. No, I love that. And you're exactly right. You know, early on, you know, we kind of looked at what our core values are, and a big one is to be a good community steward. And we definitely had and have a love for cultural arts, mm-hmm. in our community, and you know how generous this community is, mm-hmm. and there are a lot of nonprofits. Right. There are a lot of monies that are raised to help a lot of different organizations, and so, you know, we looked at where is our space in that, and what, you know, how can we impact that, and so we decided that okay, we're going to kind of put our money where our mouth is. You know, we're not just going to say we're going to do this; we're going to do it. So a little more than a decade ago, maybe around 2000 and over more than a decade ago, we started the Grand Boulevard Arts and Entertainment Program. And the purpose was to bring great programming and events to Grand Boulevard Entertainment, but for them to have a nonprofit or charitable component. Mm-hmm. So that now, if you look at our coastal culture calendar of events, say that 10 times fast, okay? Coastal culture calendar of events.
You say it.
Right, I will. So if you look at that lineup, you're going to see events that support Children's Volunteer Health Network, that support the Sonder Project, that support Walton County Cultural Arts Alliance, Destin Charity Wine Auction Foundation, Emerald Coast Theater Company. And so we really made the effort to back up what we said we're going to do. So whether it's that Grand Boulevard is the venue for their fundraisers, you know, we've got these great events with Cultural Arts Alliance, had a partnership with them for over a decade. Arts Quest, fabulous fine arts, the longest tenured, juried, you know, art event. Love it. Been at Grand Boulevard for more than 10 years, 30A Songwriters, mm-hmm. Festival. I mean, wow. I mean, it's huge. And Grand Boulevard's the main stage venue. Mm-hmm. We've got the space. We'll make it happen. Mm-hmm. And that's really what we, when we meet with these organizations, we brainstorm with them as to how we can make you know, their vision for what they need with their organization, mm-hmm. including raising funds, mm-hmm. happen in partnership with Grand Boulevard. Mm-hmm. So,
and
Children's Volunteer Health Network. Yes, we've had their fall event in Grand Boulevard for about 4 years, mm-hmm. now, and they do such great work. We even ask them to bring in their mobile
dental clinic,
mm-hmm. and they park it there, yep. for X amount of time, and we put
a lot of people go in then?
They do.
To see it or to actually get work?
Well, you think about, we employ hundreds and, yes. hundreds of people,
right.
in retail,
right.
And they can certainly benefit, yes. from those services.
Oh,
so, yeah, so the services, so it helps them, it helps the tenants, and it helps,
yes.
in terms of the employees,
right.
and it helps Children's Volunteer Health Network get their word out, their services,
right.
out, and
right.
so it's just a win-win.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you this the other day. I'll just say it here now on our interview, but Ohana Day School.
Yes.
We're working with them now.
Yeah.
Do you know that?
Yeah,
I do. So there's a big event on July 31st.
I saw that.
And there's a lottery. So someone is going to win having their child have tuition free.
I love that. And, of course, my grandbaby's moving to the market.
Oh.
So, of course, if I was eligible, but right. I could see them pulling my name out, it'd,
yeah.
be like, this is not,
yes.
going to happen.
Yes. Oh, no, that's sad. Well, your daughter's name can,
yeah.
come in there.
Yeah. So, but, yeah. I'm thinking about that for my little,
yes.
young granddaughter.
Well, that is a beautiful,
yeah,
space.
It is.
Absolutely.
So cool.
I mean, just like, and I guess I bring that up, you know, one, just to we didn't talk about it yet, but also like the diversity of its community. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you have a school in this beautiful complex place to go.
Yeah. 52 acres.
52. Oh, I'm okay. 52 acres.
52 acres.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. 52
acres.
It's
pretty expensive. Three hotels.
Yes.
You know, and to your point, school, you know, a fabulous school, the arts with Emerald Coast Theater Company, the green spaces where we make use of, you know, the farmers market every week and the many events and fundraisers and entertainment. Mm-hmm. So we kind of, you know, fill
it
up.
It's a legitimate town center for many people. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, if I'm living in Seagrove and I want to go there, I still feel like
dry cleaners and salons and apparel and I mean, really, you know, the grocery store, of course, you know.
So it really is. Talk about full service. That's amazing. So many events, so many great things that you're doing. It really, really is very inspiring to see how this has turned out. Mm-hmm. And with you at the helm as well, to lay claim to seeing so much of these ideas turn into reality must be very, very satisfying. Mm-hmm. And now we'll talk about something, you know, glitzy, and I don't know if there was a charity component to this. But,
well, there was. I know where you're going.
All right. So you came and started whispering to me about something cool that was going to be happening.
Was that me that did the...
but you didn't tell me, so I can't disclose it now. And I'm like, it's big.
I just teased you. I'm like, my gosh. Yeah.
And then finally, you know, you were able to share that Bal Harbour was doing a tricked out, my words, pop-up.
Yeah.
At Grand Boulevard for the summer, and that was last summer?
Last summer, yeah.
That really only last summer?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. This has been...
I know, the years has been like that. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah. So Bal Harbour, of course, you know...
So explain to everybody what that means, what that is and was.
Yeah. Well, Bal Harbour is pretty much the most fabulous and successful commercial center in the country, you know, especially in terms of price per square foot, you know, to get into that center. And it is fabulous. And the family, I don't want to speak out of turn, but who own that, they are very familiar with this market. Mm-hmm. And they love Grand Boulevard. And so we've got, you know, ace leasing team. And they and we basically said, well, you know, we would love to do something with you at Grand Boulevard. Well, little did we know, they were working on, to your point, this like completely tricked out, all-encompassing pop-up that where it was designed in Atlanta, where they use the railroad cars. They do a double-decker situation where you walk into this, you know, beautiful space where they truck in, you know, the palm trees, the koi pond, and then they have 10 super high retailers, whether Tiffany and Dolce and, you know, just fabulous designer names, and a restaurant, you know, that was fantastic as well. And yeah, we had that set up for about 10, 12 weeks. The name brands, the, you know, luxury brands traded out after a few weeks. And so we had, you know, additional ones come in. And to your point, we held events for Destin Charity Wine Auction Foundation in there. Mm-hmm. We held an art-based event with Cultural Arts Alliance in there. So there again, it's like figuring out how to dovetail, you know, the charitable nonprofit work with the for-profit fabulousness of something like Bal Harbour was just great, and it was a huge success. We've invited them back. We had an event with them last month, month before last, and we actually have another event with them
when
coming
you say
up. At
that,
the end.
What does that mean? When you they came,
they're
to
coming
you?
Back, and we're doing these. A combination private public shopping events where we did one at Churchill
Oaks,
last month and or in May. And then we've got one coming up at the Kaya Resort.
Oh, you did?
No.
Oh.
I gave them a plug. Sorry, it's not Kaya, although we love you. It is at Justin Gaffrey. Oh. So it's at the end of the month. You'll be getting
where
your invitation.
Justin's now?
It's on 38, his gallery.
Oh,
yes, cool. With Maxine Orange is their manager
that's
now.
Very interesting.
And so there'll be a dinner and a whole private.
Is Justin cooking?
he is going to do art, a live exhibit. Yeah, you
know, he's a chef, too.
I know he's a chef. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think Phil McDonald's going to do the food.
That'd be good.
I mean, if it's not Justin, we'll take Phil. Yeah, we'll love Phil. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Phil, when I first moved, funny Phil story. Yeah. So when the Bradys first moved to the Destin area, we'd walk out to the beach, and there was just the nicest young man who would help us. And this was like in late 90s, right? Mm-hmm. And he would set up our umbrella, and, you know, he was our cabana guy. We just loved him, and he always took care of us. And we just all became friends and everything, you know, for a couple of years anyway. And then, you know, maybe 15 years ago, I was at an event at Fleming's with Florida Public Relations Association, and your ex-employee came in and with her husband, and I looked at him, it was introduced, it was Phil McDonald. I'm like, Philip, is that you? Yeah. He was our cabana boy on the beach.
Oh, that's funny.
And so I was like, I just knew him as a, and I mean, oh my gosh, what an accomplished chef. Mm-hmm. And, you know, his work with Black Bear Bread, which had been at Grand Boulevard. Mm-hmm. So Phil is going to do the cooking for that event. Invitations are being worked on right this second.
Good.
So you'll want to come out for some
of
that.
Right. Yeah, I definitely will.
And that will, some of that will benefit Destin Charity Wine Auction Foundation and, of course, the 17 charities that they support.
So good.
I didn't mention South Walton Beach's Wine and Food Festival as a charity event.
And that takes place the same weekend as the
Destin. As the auction.
So how does that even work? I mean, even when I go
it works.
There, I don't understand, like, what is going on? It's so huge. Yeah.
So we started South Walton Beach's Wine and Food Festival in 2013. And it was like the next iteration of what used to be Sandestin Wine Festival, and worked with Chan Cox to bring it to Grand Boulevard. Mm-hmm. Okay, Chan Keith. Chan's a tenant with Wine World and Craft Bar and Wine Bar at Grand Boulevard. Anyway, and so we reached out to Destin Charity Wine Auction Foundation and said, well, why don't you have the auction on site at Grand Boulevard while we're having the festival? And we'll just be like sister organizations. So South Walton Beach's Wine and Food Festival is its own 501c3 nonprofit, and the beneficiary is Destin Charity Wine Auction Foundation. So the funds that we raise go to Destin Charity. Destin Charity Wine Auction Foundation is its own 501c3 organization, nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So they're two different organizations. Mm-hmm. We refer to ourselves as sister organizations, and we are held on that same weekend, the last full weekend in April. Mm-hmm. And the auction is on site there. It's, you know, fabulous. Mm-hmm. And then what's really cool is the 600 or so people who attend the auction events, patron dinners on Sunday, if they're up for it, they roll right into the festival. And I remember the first year that the auction was at Grand Boulevard, and they were telling me, like, nobody's going to come to the festival on Sunday because they've been partying for, you know, 3 days now. And I'm like, okay. And literally the first year, like, 300 of them came to the festival.
Well, because they're professionals.
Well, that's exactly
that's
right.
Why. I would
and
not
so
be
are
there,
we.
But they are professionals.
So, those events work beautifully because we're able to share some of the celebrities, some of the wine celebrities. And we just work very well together.
It's just a huge, huge production.
Yeah,
you
it
know?
Is.
And
we're up for it.
Did you? I know you are, but do you ever get used to it, or does it always seem like so huge of a production? Because it looks like when I'm driving into Grand Boulevard, like 2 days before an event, my heart sinks just from being an event planner myself, going, this looks scary. I'm glad I'm not planning this.
It is quite a production.
Yeah.
Okay. And we're really fortunate. We work with Monarch Events and Brianne and Hillary. They've been with us from the beginning. They're so talented.
They're so,
so creative. And it's like, that's who you want to be in the foxhole
with. They take the pressure off.
I mean, love it. So ever since we've worked together, ever since it was like 2011, I think, where I got a call from Brianne Odell, and she said, hey, we met, you know, we've got this event coming up at Sandestin, the Annika Sorensen Golf Classic, yeah, mm-hmm. and we're going to have celebrities. And Darius Rucker is going to do a charity concert, and we're trying to find a space for it. We can't find a space. She was like, I see there's this fenced area on the north side of Grand Boulevard, and I wonder what's behind it and if we could look at it. And so I remember going out with Hillary and Brianne, and we're like, looking over the fenced area, which is now the North Lawn. And we're uh-huh. like, and it's just like grown up grass uh-huh. and weeds. And we're like, maybe we could make this a concert venue, you know? But oh. it's like, that's how you have to think,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so we pitched it. We took the fence down. We got the grass, the sod down. And lo and behold, it became this fabulous concert venue. And Darius Rucker did a concert there that was so cool. Mm. And so I've been buds with Hillary and Brianne yes. ever since. And so when so we knew that the South Walton Beaches Wine and Food Festival was going to be, we're thinking big here, okay? Mm. And so brought them in. And we do actually have to create that venue every year. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how mm-hmm. we go into it with a theme. Mm. Like this year it was Urban Gucci Garden. Mm. Oh yeah, we like to go there. Okay. So we're like Urban Gucci Garden. It's yeah. like the florals and they're, you know, they're urban. And it was like, mm-hmm. so we kind of use that, yeah. that vibe. And so that is kind of our premise. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we brought in the florals and the whole decor, yeah. but we have to build that yeah, venue every year, and it is quite a production. But ultimately, if we can have a great event at Grand mm-hmm. Boulevard, attract 5,000 people, yeah. you know, to the center, yeah. and then be able to write a check for charity, that's a win.
Amazing. So much packed into this. You're such a good speaker and you're able to storytell very well. It's good storytelling. What I ask a guest as we're sort of nearing the finish line here, usually on most podcasts, to give some words of wisdom, some keys of inspiration for somebody that is in marketing or event planning or just in our basically professions of mm-hmm. where you have to think and imagine and create.
Mm-hmm.
What have been some foundational parts of your personality or your background that allow you to do what you do?
Well, I think you kind of just said it in a nutshell. For me, it's the what if, you know? It's not like, you know, I mean, I never go into anything thinking like, oh, we can't do that. I'm always like, what if we could do this, okay? Mm-hmm. And I think you have to go in with ideas, and then you have to you flesh them out, you know, before you get in front of the big guys, and then you have to be passionate about mm-hmm. it, you know? Mm-hmm. But I'm always asking, like, well, what if we – well, why can't we do – let's – okay, this is what it would take. You know, it's like I'm one of those, like, there's a will, there's a way. Mm-hmm. There's a way to figure this out, you know? And so – and I so appreciate that in you know, a large part of my career, I've worked for people that have – I always say they give me just enough rope to hang myself. It's like they're like, okay, we're going to let you try this. And, you know, and it's, you know, usually it turns out yeah. pretty well. Yeah. And then it's like the next time I come in, they're like, okay, we're going to let, but you know, you have to go in and you mm-hmm. have to say like, well, go back to like, this is who we said we're going to be. Okay. Mm-hmm. So what's going to get us? That mm-hmm. is exact. And you know, mm-hmm. that is exact. What I like to say is, you know, who do we want to be?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I literally go into the C-suite. I'm like, okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who do we want to be? You know? And mm-hmm. so, and then let's be it.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we fill in that story. The other thing I would say is, you know, the only thing constant is change, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm.
Embrace the change.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid of the change.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be afraid to take a risk, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, when I remember Robert Davis telling me early on along the lines of, if you haven't failed, you haven't tried kind of thing. And so that's scary because you're putting yourself out there, mm-hmm. but you know,
mm-hmm. true.
You put yourself out there because guess what?
Right.
You might succeed, you know? So,
wow.
It's about as wise as I can get, Lisa.
It's very wise. And joke, but actually quite serious. how can the world bottle the energy that you have? Please. I mean, were you just always like this?
I think so. I mean, if I believe in something, mm-hmm. you know, I believe in it. Mm-hmm. And then ideally I'm going to feel that passion for it. And then I want to convey and communicate that to whatever audience, you know, I'm speaking to.
Right. So it's not energy. It's actually passion.
I think it is.
Yeah.
I think it is that's exactly what it that.
Is. And that's what you have to have.
I agree.
Wow. Well, thank you. I am so glad that I don't think I've smiled this much in a podcast before. You're delightful. And thank you so much for everything that you've done. And I really enjoyed sitting down with you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Hope you all enjoyed Stacey Brady here in the house. And she's done a lot for our community. And we're all very thankful. Have a good day, everybody. Bye-bye.